Pretty flowers, huh? They're pretty. A lot of times people look and they say, you hear the joke every year, right? Father's wearing pink, right? Everybody hears it. It's supposed to be rose, okay? Rose, right? Because roses, right? The bud of Jesse, right? Coming up, right? Well, I wanted, before stepping into the homily here, just a little commercial, infomercial, or different things, just to give everybody an opportunity, right? And many have already jumped on it and been able to help with that opportunity. We've been talking for weeks about our audiovisual upgrade. And it's really important to be able to just let everybody know what's going on as much as possible. So if you got a bulletin, you'll see it in there in the bulletin, right? And if you go out the back, you'll see our communications department did a great job. They put little signs up that talk about the four phases, right? I'll let you look at that, the four phases of it, right? One of them's going to be, we're having Monday today, a professional group coming in with this new style of assisted hearing capability that goes in the floor. So if you have a hearing aid, like in an airport, you don't have to get something from back there. It automatically clicks in, right? All this neat stuff, but to get up to grade, right? Get up to speed with it. Very simply, that project is going to cost us $250,000. But thanks be to God, we've already got $70,000 raised, and we're on the way. So people are coming to be able to help with that. But we want to give everybody that opportunity, if able, many hands lighten the load, to participate in this upgrade or enrichment of our worship experience. So there's no dead space anywhere, right? And so a great opportunity. So I ask you to take a look at it, whether online, take your little, if you don't take the bulletin, take your little 3x5 little sheet with you. You can go out, it's got all the, like, it's got questions answered, like, why now? Why are we doing it now, right? Or it also has a rundown of projects we've done since 2014 or 15. Other projects we've done that have been of that value, a little under that value, or way beyond that value, to let it know it's kind of in ballpark with what we have. And so just pray about that. Pray for the initiative. We're well on the way, and God will provide. Not worried. You're going to hear from me. What moves me to have these type of requests is never, ever, 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 ever money. It's not about money. It's about need, meeting the need. John the Baptist was a voice crying out in the desert, in the wilderness, and we need microphones, we need different things to get the word out. And even in these times, he didn't have it. Live stream. We're the only large church in the Charlotte area that does not have live stream capability. And we have well over 1,200 families watching each week. Families. That means close to 4,000 plus people. In this city, outside of the state, and all over the place. Because Father Mike's super famous. He is. He's already written a couple books, so he's got players all over the place, right? You may be looking here and you see Joseph here away from Mary, right? Well, they haven't journeyed yet to Bethlehem. He's going to move over there, but Father Mike has him here, but I'm not going to steal his thunder. Go on the website and watch. He's on the video this week. Watch him. He's got an awesome homily, really good. I watch his because I get to be preached to, right? I get his, the way he brings it, and he brings it such in a beautiful way. So, here we are. Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent. And we spoke about proposing questions. Not just for you, but also for me, all of us to turn over in our heart. Questions. As I'm sure St. Joseph and Mary pondered questions. They turned them over. Here's the question. How do I recognize you? How do I recognize you, Lord? How do I recognize you in 2020? Past two homilies spoke about all of us having in our heart, even you little ones, right? I see you. Thumbs up, eyes on. All of us have in our heart a GPS, not a global positioning system. Obviously, God knows exactly where we are in this world of his, which he created, right? We don't need a GPS to tell us that. God will tell us where we are because he's had us pegged when we were formed in our mother's womb, before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew everywhere we lived. But we have in our heart this GPS, God's perfect system. And it's God's perfect system in our heart that'll help us answer this question, how do I recognize you? Because it's with the eyes of our heart. You remember the man born blind in the temple? And he was given his sight. Hold us up. Father, you're going to get ahead of the birth of Jesus. Yeah, all that was in Jesus' sacred heart. You and me and the man born blind. And Jesus gave him his sight. And Jesus said to him, he didn't have sight, but he could see. And you that have sight can't see. They couldn't see Jesus even walking in the temple, because he had the eyes to see Jesus in his heart. He was seeking for Jesus in his heart. So we have this God perfect system in our heart. And it makes me think of a college student. Someone told me, I know we have our college students home now. They're amazing examples. I've had a blessing going out to the universities, getting to know them. I had chicken wings, thanks to y'all, before our big breathe event, right? We had 220 people in here worshiping Jesus, seeing Jesus, loving Jesus. And we come up for Jesus in the Eucharist, right? But going around with a monstrance and blessing people, and you got the lights, and you got some music, and our hearts are being moved. And with the eyes of our hearts, you see people, they're like emotionally moved for this Jesus who's in a monstrance that we receive in the Eucharist. And so it was right before that event that we had the chicken wings with the college students, and they all, they came in and say, you reel them in on chicken wings, right? Then you bring them to Jesus. But worse, chicken wings work, hot ones with blue cheese. Anyway, so Father's getting distracted. This college student, at one point in his life, he was in his dorm room, and he had written on his desk in the first few weeks of school, I am third. It's the only thing he had on his desk, little things, a little post-it note, I am third. So all his friends were coming in for weeks, they're just kind of checking it out, and nobody yet really had courage to ask the question, that is weird, I am third, what does that mean, I am third? Finally, someone come up there and says, what does that mean, I am third? And he said, well, for me, it's pretty simple. Jesus is first, others are second, I'm third. And so my brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Gaudete Sunday, when we speak about Gaudete, Gaudium, which if you read the letters of St. Paul in Latin, Gaudium means joy. And there's another word of joy called Letizia. And Letizia also means joy. So the English language can be kind of like not as rich as other languages. A whole ocean opens up with that. So Gaudium, joy, what does that mean? A deep resonating joy. A deep joy, where Letizia is a surface joy. Nothing wrong with surface joys. Chicken wings are a surface joy for Father. Same with Legos, and I know y'all probably like Legos. That's the joy I'm talking about. When you finish that Lego thing, you know what I'm talking about, right? And I know it's not a joy when your brother comes with a rubber band, don't do it, and shoots him down and all that stuff. We used to do that, right? Anyways, so Letizia is a superficial, kind of like surface joy. Gaudium is a deep resonating joy that we can have even when we're suffering, like right now with ropes and masks and social distancing and all that stuff. We can still have that deep resonating joy that St. Paul had with shipwrecks and stonings and scourges and sufferings, right? That's what Gaudete Sunday is about. It's about rejoicing in the fact that our Savior's coming. And so we ask that question, how do I recognize you? And it's by living joy. Living joy. Father, how do I live joy to recognize you? Jesus says, my favorite verse, and y'all are going to hear this as a broken record until the good Lord asks me to depart from here. Go to another land and preach. John 15, 11 through 12. I tell you this, he said at the Last Supper. I tell you this so my joy may be in you and your joy, gaudium, deep resonating joy, even if they persecute you or you're in a pandemic or whatever, your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. And he said that before he went to that cross. Because even amidst the scandal of the cross, he wanted them to have joy. And he came to meet those apostles, disciples, downcast on the road to Emmaus. Father, you're all over the map. Now you're to the resurrection. All that was in his sacred heart. It was with him at the beginning of time. And he came and met them on the road to Emmaus and journeyed with them. But they didn't recognize him. It says they didn't recognize him. I think because Jesus had his hand behind like this. They didn't see his glorious wounds. They didn't recognize. Why did they not recognize him there? Why did they not recognize him when he ascended into heaven? Why did they not recognize him when they're on the shoreline of life? Because Jesus Christ, when he went into that Jordan and received baptism, which he did not need, he took all humanity in there. So I believe with all my heart that the reason why they didn't recognize him, because Jesus in all those apparitions didn't appear like the Jesus in the picture we have at home. Maybe he appeared like the Jesus from China or the Jesus from Africa or the Jesus from Latin America or the Jesus from Charlotte, North Carolina. So back to the question, how do I recognize you, Lord? That was then, this is now. How do I recognize you in 2020, 3016 Providence Road, and when I go to my home? Number one, Jesus. J, Jesus, in his living word. We can all break it open on the weekend. We can listen to it on our iPhones, which they didn't have back then. We can put it on our car. We can read it. We can listen to it. We can turn it over in our heart, as did Mary. The living word of God. Number two, the Eucharist. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus, their hearts were burning. Their hearts were burning because of the word. And they invited Jesus in. And it was in the breaking of the bread that they recognized him. And I believe because they probably saw bread, much like what we see bread. And they probably would have struggled with their faith, much like we can struggle with our faith. When we see a priest, a broken human being, that needs the Eucharist too, that needs confession too, holding that up and saying, behold the Lamb of God. But what they saw, what moved them, were the glorious wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ when he held up that bread, because he had to hold it up, and they saw the bread, and they saw the wounds, and they say, my eyes behold my Savior, and he vanished from their sight. That Jesus, the Eucharist Jesus, that comes to us. You see, Jesus, even when he walked in those times, as we read in the gospel today, man, Father, if I only lived back then, if I only could walk with Jesus and see his miracles and do that stuff, watch him walk on water, I'd believe. I don't know. Because they didn't believe after it rose. They struggled. They needed faith. And so Jesus' divinity was concealed in his humanity then. His flesh, his body, and in his voice. He who is the eternal word had a voice, and he spoke his word, but he speaks today. Jesus, concealed behind the veil of his flesh, what appears to be bread, looks like bread. He looked like a normal human being, and it looks like bread, but it's Jesus. Why? Because we know it's Jesus, because he's God, and we're not. And he said, do this in memory of me. Jesus concealed in the voices of a mom who reads the living word of God to her child, or a dad who breaks open the gospel for the coming weekend to his son, or a senior group that meets together, or we do online in a Bible study. A different voice, but the same word. So number one, how do we recognize you, Lord? Number one is J, living joy, Jesus. Do I spend as much time in that living word as I do on the internet and my iPhone and all that other stuff? In the good news versus the daily news. In the truth versus whatever's piped to us on social media, where you can Google the truth, maybe, might not be the truth. So J, living joy with J, Jesus first. Do we put him first If we're lacking joy, it may not be that we're putting Jesus first. Second, others. Oh, others. Jesus said, Matthew 25:40, what you did to the least of mine, you did it to me. And a lot of times we can get in all these ministries, which are beautiful, but we can whisk out and be great disciples and apostles and even priests, going out and doing stuff, and it's awesome and everything. But how are we a disciple at home? Our domestic church? With our spouse? With our children? With our parents? I got to hold myself to that same standard. I go home, collar comes off, I'm Richard. Got to let mom be mom, dad be dad, and I got to serve them and love them and be there. Same with my siblings. Others. Yeah, we're one family in Christ, but our immediate family, our domestic church. Can I say that I really live family? Take each letter. I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Forget about me. I love you. Every letter in family ties to another word. Forget about me. I love you. So Jesus, others. And finally, my brothers and sisters in Christ, yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself in the way Jesus, our Lord, wants you to love yourself. You are beautifully, wonderfully, and gloriously made. And he looks at you, and he is madly in love with you. And the thing that robs us of this love of ourself, a proper ordered love of ourself, is when we fall into that thief of joy, which is comparison. When comparison just kind of rips us about. It breaks my heart when I see the young people just being breaking apart because whatever's on the media, the like here, the like that defines you. That doesn't define you. What defines you is that you are a son or a daughter of your heavenly Father and mine. You are a brother and a sister of the King of Kings. You are a friend of the gentle guest of your soul, the Holy Spirit. That is who you are. Love yourself, please. Love yourself and don't beat yourself up. Don't compare yourself to others. Know that you are uniquely, wonderfully made, and you are, our Lord is inviting you and me into this incredible, best ever search and rescue mission. If you're having a problem loving yourself, if you're having a problem living a joy, one of the best ways to open the floodgates to joy, I'm going to tell you, and it might make you uncomfortable, especially if it's been a while, don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid to go to confession. Father Mike and I are opening more times, and we'll stand on our head. I did it once in Georgia. I told people, you can catch me outside Harris Teeter with my cart full and ask me, and I'll stop for confession. We'll just get everybody's earsight. I actually said that in Georgia once, and one person came up to me when I came out literally on a Sunday to get my groceries. Hey, Father, you got time for confession? I'm like, just wanted to test you. But don't fear it. Don't fear it. Because when we open our heart up to the mercy and the love and the peace and of our Lord, he comes in with all that joy. And he gives us the strength to love him above all else and our neighbor as ourselves. This Gaudente Sunday and every day, may we heed the cry of Paul, St. Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let us live the joy that helps us see the face of God. Amen.